aggressive than Mandingo. More shocking than Behind the Green Door. More erotic than Deep Throat.
Hi, this is Herb Katz, and welcome to Dial-A-Dork, the Cleveland radio home for nerds, geeks, and dorks. For the next hour, we'll take your calls about your crashed computer, your hung-up software, your level 17 paladin, or whatever geek-worthy topic you have in mind. Call us at 216-578-1300 and let the Dial-A-Dork community assist you. And now, here's your Cleveland dorks.
I just wanted to say that I'm a nerd.
Hello, Cleveland. Welcome to another episode of Dial a Dork. You can call us at 216-578-1300 or email us at dorks at dialadork.com. And that's hyphenated, dial-a-dork.com. So why don't we just jump right into it this week? This is a very exciting show. We have got a special guest here in the studio, Paul Schneider. May I call you Froggy?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Paul Froggy Schneider is here joining us as always. Russ Miller.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Matt Minar.
Good evening, Cleveland.
We've got Yoko the Architect in the booth right now. All right. Thank you for the lovely gesture. And unfortunately, Senor Crapple did not make it this week, nor did Dan the Master Googler. Is anybody here at all? Did anybody join us? I don't know. Looks like somebody might be on the phone. We'll find out in a minute. Anyway, the main thing we're going to be talking about tonight is Nauticon. And that's why we have Paul. Should I call you Paul or you want me to call you Froggy?
Froggy's fine.
Okay, Froggy. Let's just get right down to the nuts and bolts of this whole thing. Why do they call you Froggy?
Well, it actually kind of relates from a story from high school. In high school, I didn't have a whole lot of friends, so I did theater. And the first role I had, the character's name was Froggy. And that was a heck of a lot better than the name I had in junior high, which was Barf, named after the guy from Spaceballs. Yeah,
yeah. You know,
yeah,
the one.
Guess,
that'll do it.
No, wait, I guess what, that is better.
What was the play? What was the piece?
Was it The Little Rascals?
No, it was a play called The Foreigner by Larry Shue. I actually played a British staff sergeant, so I had my Cockney accent in perfect form.
Oh, very we should nice. Have him do the rest of the show like that.
Hello, everybody.
Fair.
Welcome to Cleveland.
Well, I'm Chinooko.
Oh, governor.
Well, okay. Before we get too far into it, let me just remind you: this week's show is sponsored by Nauticon. As it turns out, Nauticon stands for Not Another Con.
Actually, that's kind of the funny thing. It doesn't stand for anything. But last year, I kind of backronymed it to Northeast Ohio
Background.
Technological Advancement Conference. Yeah, if you have a new hacker's dictionary or a yellow book, that's one of the terms they use in there. So basically, I thought of a really cool name, Nauticon, because it's not a con.
Right.
And then I thought, you know, it would be really cool to put a really fake acronym to it. So behold, there you go.
And that's
new
a pretty
Orleans
good one.
Transit Association.
nice, nice. And, okay, the actual event is being held April 8th through the 10th. At the Holiday Inn Lakeside?
Yeah, right downtown. The Holiday Inn Select Lakeside.
It's like right, what's it, between 12th and 9th on Lakeside?
It's right
east 12th and East 9th?
Near East 9th and Lakeside.
Yeah.
Can't miss it. It's right by the SBC building, phone freaks out there. I'm sure you know where that is.
Is it in the dumpsters? Is it back in the alley? Is that where you're...
apparently, this is the second year you've been doing
correct,
this.
Yeah.
And last year was in Cleveland also?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. So it's a Cleveland thing.
This is absolutely a Cleveland thing. You know, I don't think Cleveland has a lot of events in which geeks and dorks and other people who are all psyched about technology can really get together and have fun for a weekend. So that's kind of why I'm doing this event.
Terrific. Rock terrific. The event itself, this year's focus is on how technology and community intermingle. You want to elaborate on what that means?
Well, yeah. I realized a long time ago that, you know, all the friends I've made and all the cool stuff I've done has only been possible because of technology. You know, like right now, most of my friends are sitting on an IRC server that I run, talking, probably hopefully listening to this show. The whole Nauticon concept came around because I wanted to, I wanted to spend time with my friends who I met at cons like DEF CON, HOPE, Freaknik, the old Rubicon, and it was, you know, the only way we could stay in touch was through technology. And, you know, I've been using IRC and and technology since I was, you know, 10 years old. And, you know, even starting in the old bulletin board days, there wasn't any way for a kid that's 13 or 14 years old to reach out in where I came from, like North Royalton. I'm sorry. If you live in North Royalton, you know, there's not a lot of opportunities there. It's very suburban. So, you know, this is, I think, a good way where we can kind of get out and kind of let loose just for a weekend.
Well, it sounds good. Now, the event itself hosts speakers, events, games, live music, and more.
All
why don't we
that.
Go through those things one at
sure.
a time here? The speaker lineup is nothing short of extremely impressive.
Well, thank you.
Why don't you? And I understand it's expanded somewhat since a week ago today.
Yeah, actually, our call for proposals ended on Friday, and that was where we opened up to the community the opportunity to present at the event in exchange for getting a free pass to the event. You know, that
fair
always
enough.
Helps.
Fair enough.
But we have a lot of really great people. A lot of somebody your listeners will know is probably Drew Curtis from FARC.
That's the one I'm looking forward to in particular.
Oh, my gosh. He's one heck of a guy. But we have a lot of other really big speakers, too. Like, we have the CIO of AmericanGreetings.com to come
really?
On out. We have the executive president of the One Cleveland Project.
Will any
out.
Of them be accepting resumes?
You know, and that's kind of a side reason why I'm doing this event, because the only way you're going
cards.
To get... The only way you're going to get ahead in Cleveland is really by knowing people and by
sure.
making networks
sure.
with people. So
I think that's true the world around. I think business runs on relationships.
Absolutely. But in Cleveland, there really isn't a good venue or atmosphere that really condones and allows that
sure.
to grow. So
sure.
hopefully this event can, in some small way, at least start that. I mean, a lot of things that people at Case talk about are the reinventing our economy and all this other business. Well, if you're going to do that, do something. Like throw an
yeah.
event and get people together.
Sure.
So, you know, hopefully I can do my own little small part to make that happen.
Well, kudos to you. And
you
still have, 4 days left of pre-registration?
4 days left, yeah. Basically, I'll probably close it while I'm at the Cleveland 2600 meeting on Friday, which is at the University Circle Arabica. Drinking coffee and whatnot.
Just in case you happen to be wandering down
Juniper
case. Road.
Juniper Road, yeah, yeah.
Well, terrific. You can save a few bucks if you pre-register.
Yeah, yep.
About $15 or something like that.
Yeah.
And you can find out more at notacon.org.
Absolutely, or notanothercon.org, whatever suits your
not fancy. Notanothercon.org, yeah. Notacon, notacon.org. And we'll be there. We've got Friday night from 8 to 10. On the IceCast or whatever it is that they're doing.
Yeah, Jason Scott's doing a really cool project of absolutely separate from Nauticon itself, but part of the community aspect of what we're doing, and he's going to be doing a live 63-hour broadcast of content, generated
Sweet.
Content for the event, at the event, all kinds of cool stuff. So, yeah, I'm really glad he did that project. I'm glad you guys were able to
Yeah, we're excited to be a part of it. And let me just take care of a couple of little
absolutely.
Bits of house cleaning here. We want to thank VisionNet, our preferred ISP. VisionNet provides network consulting, website development, web hosting, internet connectivity, and VoIP services. For all your technological needs, contact VisionNet at 1-800-645-9351. That's 1-800-645-9351. And they're local. You don't have to send your money out of Cleveland. You can just call VisionNet. And finally, I'm actually using VisionNet's dial-up because we finally figured out what the heck was going on with the phone line in the studio, and we've got it all fixed. And it seems to be working beautifully, and I'm very pleased about that. And we just want to remind you that if you want to advertise on Dial a Dork, you can. Just give us an email at dorks@dialadork.com and express your interest, and we will work with you. You can advertise for as little as $30. Can't beat that. So let's jump right back into Nauticon a little bit. This is what I want to know is, how did you meet Drew Curtis? How did you make that happen?
Actually, that's a pretty funny story. I've been a FARC user since I don't know when. I have like a 3-digit ID, so I was using it before the, you know, basically after he posted the infamous picture that started it all. If you know anything about FARC, anyway. Yeah, so I had the great idea of having all these FARC users to basically get together in Cleveland. It turns out that when I was reading the forums, there's a lot of people that I knew, a lot of usernames from the old Cleveland Freenet and in and around town. So I posted an article and told everybody, hey, why don't you come to Cleveland? It was like a Thursday night or something like that, and we'll go to the some bar down in Coventry and just have drinks, because, you know, FARC people, they love their booze, including me. So I did that, and it turns out Drew Curtis and Mike and Phil and a whole bunch of the guys came down, and we had about 50 to 20 people, but you know, it was just a really good event. And that was kind of one of the seeds for Nauticon, realizing that people would actually voluntarily come to Cleveland. You know, because Cleveland has such a undeserved stigma.
Yeah, so, I agree.
But yeah, it was really cool to have all those guys down. And then, of course, they had some other events after that. But it turns out that was actually the first FARC party ever, and so I have that dubious distinction.
Well, that's a really cool story. I mean, the FARC parties have really blown up. I mean,
absolutely.
It seems like there's one every week.
Yeah.
And I don't suppose Drew attends all of them anymore.
I think wherever there's free beer, he'll make it. Yeah. He'll make it a good effort to.
All right, cool. So you're basically saying it's not that tough to get Drew into town.
Yeah, well, you know, as long as there's enough people, and you know, he has a pretty busy schedule, so if he can fit it in, I'm sure he'll do his best.
We've got an email question for you, Froggy. It's from, okay, this is like a Dear Abby question. It's from Closeted in Cleveland, and I'm not even going to speculate on what that means, but. This individual, this human, this person says, I like computers and technology, but I'm not a gamer, a dungeon master, or into Renaissance festivals. Is Nauticon for me?
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, can we just touch on every horrible stereotype of the geek, dork, and nerd community?
First of all, you know, geeking isn't all about, you know, how high of a level is my mud character, which in my case happens to be about 64.
Okay, but don't go any further. But I just want to say that in our intro, when I say if you need help with your level 17 paladin, yeah. I think that's probably a fallacy, because once you've reached level 17 with a paladin, you probably don't need anyone's
help. You really
should
know what's going on.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. You know, anyway, I just wanted to clear that up.
The people who attend Nauticon, you know, may be interested in those things, but what I realized a long time ago, and kind of what the theme last year, which was bridging the gap between art and technology, I realize that I'm a lot more than just a computer geek. I like making music.
You're a computer nerd.
I'm a computer nerd.
Oh.
You know, I like DJing, making music, doing art. So there's so many other facets to me other than just my technology and my geekiness, and that's kind of what I tried to bring out last year. And so we're kind of building on that this year with this event and including in the community aspects. But no, you don't, you know, if you're into Dungeons & Dragons and Renaissance festivals and stuff, you know, that's great. You know, you'll have a good time at Nauticon. But if you're not, you're going to have probably even better time, because you'll find other people who, you know, might be into the things you're into in terms of, you know, are you into phones? Are you into news aggregation? Are you into just meeting people, making network contacts? Are you into old computers? We have a guy who's going to talk about the Coleco Atom. We have a talk that's going to be all about the new stuff they're doing with the Commodore 64s. We have Radman from the group Acid, which is an old ANSI group from the BBS days. He's going to talk about his experiences with ASCII art and stuff. So, you know, there's a whole wide range of talks that we have just to kind of pique everybody's interest. So if you come to Nauticon, there's a couple talks you might be interested in. You'll probably sit down at a couple more that you would have never even considered before, and you might realize, hey, this is a lot of fun. This is cool. I dig this. Maybe this is something I can get into as a hobby, or just expand my own interests.
That sounds awesome. Sounds like you guys got any questions for Froggy?
I'm so stoked to go to this thing. I'm drooling over here on my microphone waiting to go to the Nauticon.
Don't electrocute yourself or anything.
I think it's grounded. It should
okay,
be all right.
Good.
But
we're good.
I mean, throwing out the things like classic Commodore, you know, gaming,
I'm
the
actually
Coleco Atom.
What's going on with
that
Commodore
stuff?
Is
incredible.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I
still have my Commodore 64.
Oh,
my 1541.
Used to worship you guys in high school, because not everybody had one.
Well, I had one, and
one
I still have
had
it.
One.
I still have my original Atari 2600 joysticks that I use with my Commodore.
Do you want three more? I bought a bunch at a garage sale.
You know, I don't. I have like six or seven or eight.
Every good geek has a closet.
Yeah,
pretty much. And it's quite extensive. Joysticks, 2600, 7800, Nintendo.
I just saw a site about the Coleco Atom a few days ago. It might have been on Slashdot or
I don't remember, but you know, that's kind of where I started back in 1982. My folks bought a ColecoVision, and they bought two games, Zaxxon and the Smurfs. And they said,
Zaxxon.
Paul, you are too young to know how to play Zaxxon, so play the Smurfs. By the second day, I went, Mom, the Smurfs sucks. Popped in Zaxxon, and then I'm like, okay, this game bores me,
you
too.
You obviously didn't find the Smurfette Easter egg.
Yeah, the Smurfs game was no good. But to be perfectly fair, the Snorks game was fantastic.
That was hot.
Monchichi.
Yeah, Monchichi was huge. I'm not gonna sing the song, but if pressed, if my life depended on it, I could probably hammer out about 75% of the first verse of the Manchichi theme song, but that's neither here nor there. Now, what can we expect to hear about the Commodore 64? I mean, I have pretty much let mine sit in the closet because I use Vice, and I've got a whole bunch of ROMs, and if I want to play my favorite Commodore 64 game,
Lode Runner.
What?
Like,
not Lode Runner, actually. Mule.
Mule's a good one.
Mule's one of my favorites.
That's a good one, yeah.
And a little known game I don't think a lot of people played called Below the Root.
A lot of people never heard of that one.
It was one of those Wyndham classics. It was kind of an adventure kind of a game, you know, not unlike maybe like Prince of Persia or something like that. But and I also like Jumpman. Jumpman. That was a good
classic
one. So what, you got a particular... Does anybody have a particular favorite of Commodore 64?
I can't believe you haven't mentioned Archon.
Archon! You're right. What am I saying? Archon was an awesome game.
Chess and monsters and, you know, a little bit of randomness, and it was beautiful.
I was always a Pepper 2 fan. I mean, that always got me. It was like the Pac-Man ripoff for the ColecoVision.
Sweet.
Yeah, good stuff.
Sweet. Good stuff. All right, we're going to be... We got a few minutes left here before our first break, so why don't we jump into some of the topical stuff we've got, and then we'll get back to Nauticon later. And if any callers or emailers have any questions about Nauticon, we'll jump into that too. One of the things I wanted to point out was last week, Dewey the Answer Man had posted a question to the Dorks mailing list, and he wanted to know what there is to know about traveling with computer equipment. And I went and did a minimal amount of research.
You got a book in front of you. What do you mean minimal?
well, just because I printed it out doesn't mean I did a lot of research. But I did find a couple of really handy dandy tips for traveling with laptops that I thought maybe we could I could throw out there.
All
right,
yeah.
I'm gonna lay it on you. One thing that somebody said was to keep all your cables, and you got to make your bag easily searchable.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the airport strictures, I traveled internationally back before those, and it was bad enough then. So, yeah, I mean, number one, don't ever order your plane ticket the day before you leave. You will be stopped and searched.
Okay.
Guaranteed.
So there's something. But, chances are you're going to get searched anyway. They're going to look through your bag. They're definitely – I think the first thing we need to say is, before we even go any further, that the X-rays are not going to hurt your laptop. High-speed film, I'm told, is very vulnerable, like 800 speed and higher. But the X-rays they use in those machines are of a very low power, and they will not harm your electronic equipment. I think this has been firmly established. And believe me, there's no possible way that they could have equipment that would harm electronics. I mean, who in the heck would fly? Ridiculous.
I can attest to that. I've taken laptop, digital cameras, gaming equipment,
right. They
cables,
all do fine.
Power supplies, hard drives, all kinds of manner stuff through there.
Yeah, so, don't worry about the X-rays. Make your laptop bag easily searchable. Try to keep it organized. This guy suggests using sandwich bags, like Ziploc bags to keep your cables in.
That's a good idea.
So that you can just kind of move them around real easy. He says, if you have an unfamiliar device, make it obviously not threatening or non-threatening. So, if you have some funky...
Paint it pink.
Bunny stickers.
Yeah, smiley face stickers.
Hello,
and
Kitty.
And Pokemon gear. No, basically what he's saying is, something really new. Like, maybe you've got a new funky camera or a GPS or something that's just a little different, that maybe a good thing to do is carry the manual with you, because then if they're like, what's this thing, you can pull out the manual and say, it's this.
And it's, don't look at the Arabic section. That's I apologize if anyone was offended by that.
That was pretty funny.
There's always an Arabic section.
There's 80
pages, and like two are in English, and the only ones you care about in the thing. All right.
Okay, let me get another couple of tips here before we go to break. Have them obviously all charged up and ready to run, because they may make you turn them on. Okay, keep your laptops in standby, as opposed to hibernate, because standby, you either lift the screen or hit a button and boom, within a few seconds they're back up and running. Hibernate or completely powered down can take a little while longer. You just want to get in and out. That's basically what we're trying to say here is, if you bring tools with you, if you need to bring tools, screwdrivers, that kind of thing, check them
in
your
luggage. Don't bring a Leatherman on your belt.
Yeah, don't bring a Leatherman on your belt. Check them in your luggage. If you're not checking luggage and you absolutely have to have these tools, then you need to mail them to wherever you're going to be.
Another
because they're
going
to confiscate them. I mean, they took my $14 toenail clippers, and I was not happy about that, and I got an ingrown toenail.
That's terrible. The one thing you might want to do in that kind of case is carry a pre-addressed envelope with you. You can mail your stuff home to you if they say, hey, you can't take this through.
Hey, that's a heck of an idea.
Yeah.
Put plenty of postage on it.
Yeah.
You might want to figure out how much postage you need
beforehand. Well, you probably don't know what you're taking that's illegal. Or in that case, just don't take it.
It's not so much illegal. They just won't let you bring it on the plane. That's all. In your carry-on. All right. As you can hear the music, we're going to be cutting out to a break. So when we come back, we will give you more tips for traveling safely and some other stuff. So we'll be back.
People Power WERE 1300 AM has something for everyone. Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. we have America's Workforce. The Your Music Show is on Monday through Friday from 1 p.m. till 5 p.m. WERE is the Cleveland home for the University of Akron basketball games. WERE has shows on real estate, current events, investments, legal issues, car repair, health, various ethnic programs, a show on food, classical music, religion, and now 24 hours a week of Spanish programming, starting off with 2 hours Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. Myra, in Español?
WERE 1300 ahora tiene programa latina. Los lunes hasta la viernes, las 5 de la mañana hasta las 7 de la mañana. Los jueves, las 9 de la mañana hasta las 12. Los viernes, 8 hasta las 11 de la tarde. El sábado, 7 hasta la 1 de la mañana. Y los domingos, los 4 hasta las 6.
Nice job, Myra.
Thank you, Tom. You did a nice job, too.
Mucho gracias, Myra.
Tú eres loco.
What did you say?
Hi, I'm nobody in particular, and I'd like to ask you a question. Are you dissatisfied with your current IT service provider? And by that I mean, is your computer guy a jerk? Are you paying $100 an hour, $125 or more for IT service? In other words, is your computer guy ripping you off? Does your computer guy leave more problems than he fixes? Essentially, does he know what the heck he's doing? Call the Comm Group today and get the level of service you desire at the price you deserve. With in-home rates as low as $50 an hour and in-office rates as low as $75. That's KOMM Group at 216-556-0141. That's 216-556-0141 or kommgroup.com. Don't be scared. Call the Comm Group.
WERE 1300 AM is your Cleveland home for the University of Akron Zips basketball this season as they play in the always competitive Mid-American Conference. Catch all the exciting action of Zips basketball along with the pre- and post-game shows only on People Power WERE 1300 AM.
Join us this Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. as the Zips welcome the thundering herd of Marshall University to the James A. Rhodes Arena for a Mid-American Conference game. Are you losing money in your 401k or other investments? Do you believe the mainstream media is telling you everything you need to know to protect your financial future? For these answers and more, listen to The American Advisor with Joe Battaglia here on WERE at 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Tune in to this live call-in program and learn how you can receive a free silver coin. Tune in at 5 p.m. Monday through Friday right here on AM 1300 WERE.
Did you know that your risk for harmful drug interactions increases with age? Call 1-800-662-HELP for a free brochure, As You Age, A Guide to Aging, Medicines, and Alcohol. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
When you went to Adams, you might have been called a spaz, or a dork, or a geek.
We know you're not on the phone with a girl, so call us instead at 216-578-1300. And now, back to Dial-A-Dork.
Welcome back. We're here with in studio with Matt and Russ and special guest Froggy from Nauticon. We've got Yoko the architect and her and Igor in the booth.
Igor?
What? Or her assistant, you know, whatever.
Did you just call my henchman. Wife Igor?
Yeah, this is a good,
I think
throw
you did.
Down here.
All right, I might have called your wife Igor.
Ouch.
It's nothing. All right, forget it. You know,
he's
I'm
coming
just gonna
table.
First rule of getting out of a hole is stop digging. So I'm just gonna move on. Well, more tips to safe travel with your what?
Would you just get on with the
okay,
tips, all
fine,
right?
Okay, fine. All right, one thing is here, this is kind of interesting, is maintain visual contact with your stuff, which means don't just shove it into the x-ray machine and sit there on the other side of the
metal
detector.
Yeah. Very good.
I once left my laptop in JFK, and my wife had to remind me to go back to get it.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm impressed if you got it back.
Well, it was a PowerBook too, so. Yeah.
Basically, what they're saying is here is to foil any. This is more of a safety thing in terms of like not getting it stolen as opposed to travel safety. But basically, they're saying is place your items on the X-ray belt, but wait until they're inside until you walk through the metal detector, and then they're kind of safe in there. Put big stickers and fluorescent things on your bag so it's easy to spot. You can get these. You can get like permanent high visibility tattoos for your equipment, so they're kind of they make them undesirable to steal because when they're really hard to get off and stuff. And just keep backups of your stuff. I mean, keep backups of your data. If something does happen, you know. That's pretty much a good idea, pretty much all around.
That would be an excellent business right there.
What?
Making tattoos for your laptops.
I think somebody does it.
I think that's
kind of where this came from. All right, we've got an email question from Eugene and Euclid, which is a properly nerdy name for a properly nerdy guy.
Don't be nice to Eugene.
I'm not being mean, I'm just saying. Dear Dorks, he writes, what kind of computer does a true dial-a-dork buy and use at home? And that should pretty much wrap up the rest of the show.
Just about.
So there's a lot of flavors of nerds, isn't it? Matt, our resident gamer.
Hold on
Matt's
a second.
Matt's a gamer, and he has...
Well, before we even start, why don't we let, you know, Froggy over there give a shout out for the kind of equipment he's using.
All right. Oh, I think the question can best be answered with another question. What are you trying to do? You know, at home, I run four or five different operating systems. Have a Windows machine, you know, have an open BSD machine, I have a Linux machine, all manner of things. But when I'm sitting in front of the couch watching television, I'm on my PowerBook.
Yeah, and I'm on the laptop as well.
So am I.
See, it was a bad question. And you know why?
Oh, it's a great question.
Because there is not one true computer.
Well, let's talk
about
all of them.
We've all got, you know, multiple PCs laying around. They each have their purpose. They're the tools that we use for a specific thing. They're configured and set up just exactly for that.
Well,
you know, you're doing your Icecast thing. You're doing some server things. You know, you got to have a machine to do that. That's totally different than your laptop while you're watching the game.
Let me say something. A great web server, if I may just say, a great web server is a laptop with a broken screen.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a great web server, and
on eBay.
Comes with its own battery backup, incidentally, in case you weren't aware of that. Well, I think Froggy, I think you said it best when you said, what do you need it to do? What are you using it for? And I think that, for the most part, will govern your decision. You know, if Matt is going to be assembling his new gaming console, he's going to do what?
Be out a lot of money.
But, I mean,
would you drop on a... I don't know what Eugene's particular perspective is. He might want advice here.
I'll tell you what. The latest thing that I was kind of drooling over was this super high-end machine that costs about $5,900.
Yes.
Yeah.
Guh.
That's a lot of cash to drop on a PC, but it's water-cooled. Two graphics cards, high-end
chipset. How many horsepower does it get?
Yeah. Two graphics cards.
I'm pretty sure that you could heat your house with it if you needed to. But that kind of system's out there. I'm more concerned nowadays with the kind of gaming system that you can put together, you know, at the most bang for your buck.
I think you find that it's pretty common in the dork. I mean,
I think so too. But I mean, some of these guys are out there, obviously supporting the Alienwares and the Voodoo PCs and the Falcon Northwest companies. You know, they're putting out units that are $6,000. I mean, you can buy a car for $6,000.
Well, I got a question, because I have not been in the market for a new computer for a while because I don't have any money. But for people who might be looking into the situation, do companies like Alienware and these other kind of assemblers now, what kind of warranties and service do they offer? You know, if somebody is leaning, you know, towards maybe going with one of the large manufacturers, Dell or HP or something like that, as opposed to Alienware, I mean, what kind of service do they offer? Do you know?
I'd say they're pretty much equivalent nowadays. You'll see with Dell and the gateways and those kind of things, anywhere from 1 year to 3 year, either off-site or on-site service contracts, and you'll get the same from Alienware as well. In fact, Voodoo does this kind of cool thing that I just read about where you can actually send them back your high-end PC and they'll do the upgrades for you.
Like, you know, while you're missing it.
Well, having looked inside the one, once you've got, you know, a bunch of cables running around inside your computer connecting all your cool devices, you layer on top of that tubes with liquid in it, and all of a sudden you crack open your case and you go, God, I wonder what happens when you unplug that. And all of a sudden there's, you know, antifreeze or whatever it is that's in there flying around the inside of your computer. It's not a good thing.
But I think for a lot of users, there's nothing wrong with going with a large manufacturer. There's nothing
My parents just bought a Dell.
Yeah.
The prices are insane.
Or for that matter, Apple. We geeked out over the Mac Minis a few weeks ago.
Absolutely.
And those are still awesome.
Although, if you are in the market for a lower-end machine, and I don't necessarily condone, condoning specific brands, but like Micro Center, so they have some really cheapy machines. Like, they have an Athlon 64 you could pick up for under $400. So, you know, that would at least give you a good start.
I helped a friend of mine build his PC just a couple weekends ago and got most of the parts at Circuit City, and we put it together and it's all good, and I think he's out maybe $700.
Yeah. I got a question, and maybe one of you guys has an opinion. Do I need a dual processor machine? What do I need one of those for? What programs even take advantage of like the multi-threading?
Do you want to talk about dual core or dual processor?
Well, I mean, is there a big difference?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay,
actually,
multi-threading is a whole other thing.
Okay.
Because you want multi-threading.
Okay.
Paul's nodding sagely over there.
Well, I mean, if you're going to do a lot of video or audio, like say you're going to use Photoshop or Maya or any kind of rendering engine, you're going to want two processors. But, you know, if you're going to play, you know, first-person shooters, a little bit of Civilization, you know, just get yourself a really good primary processor and lots of RAM, like a gig, 2 gigs, you'll be all set.
I mean, most software isn't even written to take advantage of multiple processors.
That's
isn't
right.
that correct? I mean, it's not something that the OS
the
just does.
Can be handed off back and forth, I mean, in some ways.
There's
if you're crunching numbers.
Even so, there's always a benefit, though,
time.
As well. If you have the extra cash and you want to spend it, go for it, because you may be running, let's say, even something as basic as Word or Excel or PowerPoint or something like that. The operating system is still doing things as well. Having the extra processor there does give you a little bit of
leeway.
You've
got a
speed.
Bunch of processors running in the background. You got your iTunes just making sure
antivirus.
You don't change your... Yeah, antivirus. Yeah,
you know, everything's taking up resources. The next processor after your first one is probably the most beneficial. Everything after that is, what's the law?
And like
diminishing
law,
returns.
Yeah.
And so is there a difference between one of the... Wait, let me get this question out, and then we're going to hear from Yoko, has got something to say. Is there something different between two CPUs and one of these new Pentium 4s with the hyper-threading? Is that different? You said that's a dual-core CPU as opposed to two distinct CPUs?
Well, and that's the difference. A dual-core CPU is one chip with, I don't want to say it's pretending to be two, but really, I guess that's a pretty good analogy.
Yeah, it's all on how you pipeline the instructions. So it's just some fancy mumbo-jumbo to make it look like two processors.
And then actually having two processors is
just
having two.
Good, yeah.
In fact, if you have two dual-core processors, you've got four.
Oh, awesome. We would like to hear from a woman's point of view. Yoko, what do you have to say?
Well, I have to say I'm a little shocked. I mean, I don't know how many times I've been out at the bar with you, sweetie, and you go on and on about gigs of that, and I got this processor and this many tera, blah, blah, blah. I really thought you guys would run with this question. I mean, what's the deal? I mean, you guys got some serious hardware at home or what?
I don't. I don't have serious hardware at all.
Yes, you do. In fact, I think we could donate most of your stuff to the Smithsonian and, you know, fund an entire wing.
That I have some very, very serious ISA cards.
You do.
You're already a lot of stuff very on special, old,
slowly
but,
approaching
but,
the ISA.
I mean, and we've taken advantage. We put Debian on a Pentium 200, and it runs Apache, MySQL, and PHP beautifully for a couple of different websites. So, I mean, you can make do with old hardware. There's no question about it. You just, you know, need to put an appropriate OS on there. But I mean, I'm, you know, my laptop is a Pentium 2, and my main computer back home is a Celeron 1.7.
Like,
so I mean, I don't know.
It's like asking your mechanic what kind of car he wants. He's probably got a beater. He's making it work for the last 3 or 5
That's
years.
That's right, because he's a mechanic.
Sure, he would love to have a Ferrari, but then he, you know.
Well, look, I'd love to have one of those $5,000, you know, Alienware computers with 228 meg graphics cards, a 400 gig, you know, serial ATA drive, and a Pentium 4. 3.6 or 3.8 gigahertz with a gig of...
AMD's the hot thing now. AMD 64, that's the hot processor.
Well, okay, so I think what Yoko wants to know is, I think she wants to hear us fantasize a little bit about our dream hardware, you know what I'm saying? And so go ahead, Froggy, why don't you talk about,
if money was no object,
the computer you would build.
I would probably get a dual processor G5 Power Mac.
Yeah,
and then I'd follow that up either with an Xserve or with like a 2 tera RAID array that I can hook into that.
Get one with like a little robot arm and stuff?
I mean, if you wanted to, but the new Xservs are really cool because they have lots of blue LEDs. And
yeah.
the rule goes, anything with lots of blue LEDs by default is cool.
How did that happen anyway? I mean, we had cars with neon glow on the underside of them, and all of a sudden now we've got computers that glow neon and synchronize.
The mechanic analogy right back at us.
I think it's because a lot, and actually I think it's a good thing for geeks, because a lot of the kids who are getting used into cars and souping up cars are now realizing that you can do a lot to a PC, and
it's just
as challenging.
That's true.
And it's a little cheaper. Sometimes.
A little bit.
And you don't have to get your hands dirty, so you can actually maybe get a girlfriend.
It's really
maybe.
Hard to take it down to, like, the street and show it off to people.
Well, that's why you take it to a LAN party.
You take it to a LAN party,
and then you start your
attention.
Stuff. Yeah.
Then you go 0 to 60 and, you know, whatever. Hey, we got an email from Alex, and Alex just wanted to reiterate what we were saying before about traveling with laptops. He mentions that he traveled back from Europe a while ago, and he had 2 or 3 rolls of 800 speed film go bad after going through the X-ray. So, but you've got to I guess you need to check it.
Normal film though is what, 400 speed?
400
yes,
speed.
Normal film
so
is 400.
If you don't know what kind of film you have, you're probably all right.
Actually, to be perfectly honest, my wife and I had our snorkeling film, which was 800 speed, ruined on our way home from our honeymoon.
Yeah, just have
and,
them hand check it. It's
hand,
no big deal.
Hand check
I have
it.
I go to Vegas every year, and as long as you have them hand check it.
What do you mean hand check it?
Basically, they take the film out of the bag, they swab it with some stuff, make sure that it isn't a bomb, and they hand it back. It takes just a few minutes. They wipe down your camera, and they're usually really cool.
I mean,
couldn't
you put it in a little basket and have them go, you know, outside of the X-ray?
That's exactly what you do. You tell before you get there, I have film, please check it. They'll take care of it.
Excellent, excellent. And he also did say his hard drive survived every trip through the X-ray machine. So, there you go. All right, we're going to come back in just a minute, and we will conclude this triumphant episode of Dial a Dork.
Get
so
your calls in now.
Stay tuned.
578-1300.
Woot.
Hi, I'm nobody in particular, and I'd like to ask you a question. Are you dissatisfied with your current IT service provider? And by that I mean, is your computer guy a jerk? Are you paying $100 an hour, $125 or more for IT service? In other words, is your computer guy ripping you off? Does your computer guy leave more problems than he fixes? Essentially, does he know what the heck he's doing? Call the Comm Group today and get the level of service you desire at the price you deserve, with in-home rates as low as $50 an hour and in-office rates as low as $75. That's KOMM Group at 216-556-0141. That's 216-556-0141 or kommgroup.com. Don't be scared. Call the Comm Group.
I feel like we've always known each other.
Me too. And we just met online.
I know. And we both love soccer.
And we both hate math.
Hate it.
So listen, why do we meet?
Maybe at the mall. Saturday afternoon? Do a little shopping, a little chilling, you know, all kinds of neat stuff.
I'll bring along some new CDs, and let's wear all pink and put our hair in a ponytail so we recognize each other.
Great.
It'll be our little secret.
McGruff, the crime dog here. When your kids chat online, they have no idea who they're talking to. Warn them that predators surf the internet looking for young victims. Be your kid's safety net on the internet. Tell them to get your permission before entering a chat room or giving out any information. Tell them to never meet anyone without taking you along. For more tips, visit McGruff.org.
An important announcement from the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the National Crime Prevention Council.
WERE 1300 AM Radio. Every afternoon from 1 to 3 p.m., you can enjoy the music and the entertainers who play and sing the songs you relate to. The songs to bring back special times of your life. We call it simply Your Songs. Brought to you by the original mattress factory location nearest you. They're the kindest, friendliest mattress people in the whole wide world. See you then.
I'm Garcelle Beauvais Nylon. 2.5 million Americans have epilepsy, and 1 in 10 Americans will have a seizure in their lifetime. Yet many of us don't know the facts about the condition. To learn more, visit epilepsyfoundation.org or call 1-800-332-1000.
Every Wednesday at 10 a.m., join Barb Storch on People Power WERE 1300 AM. Barb interviews our area's most influential people from all walks of life. If you want to know what's going on in the greater Cleveland area, then you need to listen to Barb Storch each Wednesday at 10 a.m. here on People Power WERE 1300 AM. WERE, we're the talk of Cleveland.
Why do you think you're a dork? I don't think you're a dork.
We know you're not on the phone with a girl, so call us instead at 216-578-1300. And now, back to Dial-A-Dork.
I'll still answer. I think that went over the air, didn't it? Hi, guys, we're back. Did y'all hear me mumbling when I thought we were off the air? Okay, so we had a call. He's listening off the air. His name's Chris in Chagrin Falls, and he wants to know, what's the difference between LCD versus plasma? And so we did some frantic scrambling here to hit Google and various sites.
Before you get into that,
okay,
tell people what you're talking about.
Oh, like the screens, like monitors or TVs. You have like LCD and you have plasma, and they're both kind of this flat screen technology.
Well, that's the other thing. Flat screen can also refer to a normal CRT.
Well, that, okay, I didn't mean, thin
people
thin
are confused
screen.
By that.
That's true. They kind of try to fool you with the regular big fat monitors calling it flat screen, and because it's just sort of flat.
Although I can only use flat screens now. I have one curved monitor at home, and I'm like, where are the edges of my screen? It's weird me out, man.
You get like a headache instantly. We could get into the technical details of the difference between plasma and LCD. Plasma, here on Crutchfield, which is just a phenomenal answer. I won't read the whole thing because it's incredibly technical and dry, but it's called plasma is emissive and it's actually self-lighting, whereas LCD is transmissive and it's not, the light isn't created by the liquid crystals. A light source is behind it and shining through. Well,
what that means is you're going to get a lot brighter, crisper images out of the plasma generally. And they'll burn a lot more power.
No, the LCD is brighter. Is what Mitsubishi is saying.
Oh, maybe contrast ratio is what I'm
Okay. Advantages of plasma over LCD is larger screen size availability, better contrast ratio and deeper blacks, better color accuracy and saturation, and better motion tracking. And, you know, actually, to me, that's kind of important because I really don't like that kind of gooey sort of motion on some of the LCDs
I've seen.
Yeah, you
want your mouse burn across.
Yeah. And the or, like, if you're watching a football game or something, you want it to be, like, crisp motion.
Absolutely.
The advantages of LCD over plasma is there's no burn-in of static images, which, you know, is huge, I think, especially if you're using it for a computer.
A computer,
monitor.
Yeah. I was going to say, for TV, you don't have too many static images.
TV, you don't have too many static images, I don't suspect.
If you play video games, that could be a really big thing. And you're dropping $7,000 on a plasma.
Well, sure.
then you got no problems.
LCD runs cooler. There's no issues with high altitude, and I didn't even know that such a thing could be possible, and also that was increased image brightness over the plasma. And I'm told, I can't substantiate this through research or anything like that, but I am told that the plasma screen TVs have a much shorter life.
Yeah, they say
the LCD
here,
TVs, but they're also cheaper. Too,
the lifespan
aren't they?
Of the
are they?
The plasmas is about 30,000 hours, which is 8 hours of viewing a day for 9 years.
So
there you go.
In my lifestyle for about 5 or 6 years. Which one was that? Without plasma or LCD?
Plasma has shorter lifespan, only about 9 years if you watch 8 hours a day.
And LCD goes how long?
They don't say. Oh no, 60,000, about twice as much.
So there you go. If you think you're going to keep a TV for 9 years,
you're dreaming. especially as the government is mandating format changes.
Yeah, what's the deal with that? Doesn't everything have to
be
year, HD?
I think. Is it 2005?
I thought it was 2007.
It does ring about
what there. What is the deal? I mean, like, is my regular TV going to work anymore?
No.
Like, not at all.
It really isn't. No.
Like, I'm literally
going to
have to take my old
away.
TVs and throw them out in the garbage? Because
they knew you never would if they didn't make it a law.
Now, the kicker, and this is where they kind of get away scot-free all the broadcast stations, is that they don't necessarily have to produce high-definition content, just digital content. So I think you'll see a lot of people, producing more digital low-res content versus...
You can
HD.
Also get a converter for your current TV. I mean, that's what people will end up doing.
Yeah, most will.
You'll get a tuner just like your cable box, essentially, I think.
So you could actually watch it on your old TV through a new cable box, and it would just be like kind of like a letterbox or something?
Yeah, probably.
Or would you just only see like the...
Well, it depends. I mean, if it's just like 480p digital content, it'll be 6x9, so it'll still have the same aspect ratio.
Yeah, I mean, there's no. I think the aspect ratio isn't being legislated at all.
No.
So, basically, I don't have to throw out my old TV.
We're starting.
Not yet.
By the time it comes around, you probably will. You'll want to.
I mean, because I got a really, what I consider a nice television in my living room. It's like a 32-inch TV, and I don't want to get rid of it. I want to use it.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Tough luck.
Screwed. Lacey in Lorraine has an email. Lorraine does not have an E on the end. Okay.
In the name. Well,
this is a great question. We're going to come full circle.
Maybe
we're going to come back to
friend.
Not a Con. I mean, we've got Froggy here. We really should take advantage of that. What does Not a Con have to offer the lady nerd?
That's actually an excellent question.
A lot of guy nerds.
Well, it will have that, but
a tremendous ratio.
There will be. There will be a lot of guys there, but by the same token, you know, we do have a lot of females. For example, we have Stephanie Packrell from Toronto, who's Steph the Geek. She hangs out on Fark a lot. She's one of the original Fark cam girls. We have a master's student at Case Western Reserve, a female friend of mine, Melinda, who's going to talk on software engineering. So it isn't going to be I don't want to use the term.
Oh,
it's not going
do.
To be all guys.
Please do.
A sausage fest, if you will.
Okay.
But,
that'd be a Chicago
thing. This isn't about gender. This isn't about, people not belonging. This is about inclusivity and bringing a whole bunch of different people together, whether you are a role player that goes to run fairs or whether you're the closet computer geek, the guy who sits at the turntables and makes music, or a web designer. There will be something for the ladies, and it's all about what do you want to learn? What do you want to get involved in? Do you want to meet people? Do you want to listen to a talk? You want to participate in one of our games and events, it's up to you.
I think a critical issue that some people might be wondering about Not a Con, and I'm wondering about it myself, is there going to be a bar?
Absolutely. In fact, I have contacted the hotel bar and asked them politely to stay open as long as they legally can for the event, which is conveniently around the corner. We will not ourselves be serving alcohol at the event, but the bar will be happy to...
You're talking about in the hotel.
Yes, it is in the hotel, so it is within stumbling distance,
sweet,
as they say, of the conference area.
And then you can just walk to your room.
Walk to your room, walk around town in a drunken stupor.
Was last year... Was there a great deal of consumption last year?
Actually, there wasn't, although I did have one of my speakers who actually convinced the hotel bar to sell him a bottle of tequila at cost.
Sweet.
That's a persuasive speaker.
That was very,
right,
very cool, yeah.
Is he a sale? Would he maybe sell ad space for us or something?
I'll have to talk to him for you when we get there. But, it is about partying and having fun, but it's about a lot more than that, too. It's about having a good time with technology and having a good time with people. So
that sounds
the
that
only
sounds
requisite
really cool.
Is the good time.
Yeah,
is the good time.
One of the things I wanted to make sure I announced to kind of go along with what we're trying to do. We did get involved with a local group who's into electronic music, and they put on an event called the Midnight Mixer, and this is very recent. They're going to actually throw, I'm not going to call it a rave, but an electronic music party on Saturday night at Nauticon from 11 to 6, and anybody who pays for an admission can get into this event. And basically, they're going to bring some of the newest electronic music in Cleveland, some of the artists a lot of people don't hear about, to really kind of promote this idea of the Cleveland scene and the Cleveland music and all this.
Okay.
So that should be really cool, too. I mean, visuals and lights and all this other kind of stuff. So,
You pay once and you're in for the whole weekend?
Pay once and you're in for the whole weekend, starting Friday at 9:30 with our professional sessions and ending at 2 or 3 o'clock on Sunday when I pass out.
And
I'm not going to get much sleep.
And how's the attendance looking so far?
Well, I'm going to conservatively estimate that we're going to get between 200 and 300 people. I'm going to plan for 400, so we are going to pack our venue and just be people as far as the eye can see. Interesting people as far as the eye can see.
Is it okay to speak Klingon?
Yeah, I don't know if you'll find anybody that'll speak your language. I do know there's a friend of mine coming out from Finland for this event. So if you know any Finnish.
Ooh, it's tough language.
I know a few things to finish, but I don't want to see him on the radio. So,
well,
the Finnish people may call the FCC.
You never know.
We're getting ready to wrap up here. We've got 2-3 minutes left. So why don't you give one more shameless plug for all the information people might need about Nauticon?
I appreciate that. Nauticon is going to happen here in Cleveland, April 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Holiday Inn Select City Center downtown at East 9th. And Lakeside, and it's going to be 3 days of talks, events and games, music, people, community, basically showing off the best of what Cleveland has and bringing people from literally all over the world to have fun for a weekend and to geek out.
And where can people go to find out about
this? People can go to our website at www.notacon.org.
Notacon. Or Not Another Con.
Or notanothercon.org.
And they can pre-register up until Friday.
Pre-register up until Friday. After that, you will you can buy a ticket at the door.
And if you have any questions, you can also forward your questions to dorks@dialadork.com. That's hyphenated, dial-a-dork.com. We will forward them on to Froggy's,
I'll be happy to receive them.
Personal account, which we won't give out over the air, but we
have
because we're very special in that way. And we, of course, are going to be there Friday night from 8 to 10, taking part in the broadcast
the Jason
event.
Scott, yeah, Jason Scott, Nauticon Radio Project.
And what is he using to broadcast?
Icecast. So he's using the same technology.
Where is he getting where is he getting his bandwidth? Is he going to just be pushing?
He has his ways.
Okay.
You'll have to ask him, but he has his ways.
Real quick, we've only got about 60 or 90 seconds left, but is there going to be internet access at the Nauticon?
Yes, we're going to try to keep some sort of net access up for those with wireless and wired connections. We'll have some layer 3 48-port switches. And in the back of our talk rooms, we're going to have ports where people can plug in and power their laptops while they listen to talks.
Did you say if there was going to be any Wi-Fi?
There will be Wi-Fi. I have a guy working right now on designing our network layout.
Sweet. What kind of bandwidth are you guys going to have running through there?
Whatever we can get from the hotel without paying for it. But we'll be
so
running
QoS. So
we get
like 300 people sharing dial-up? Or
well, it'll probably be some sort of DSL, but we're going to QoS it up and see what else. Maybe we'll get a nice
link. Do you know what you're
going to
use for QoS?
I'd have to talk to my boy Marcus about that.
I'm just kind of curious because I had a project about that once and I never did figure out a good way to do that. So
yeah, that's why I'm a manager. I just leave that detail to my people.
Terrific. Well, look, if you can hear the music in the background, that means we are moving quickly towards the conclusion of this episode of Dial a Dork. We appreciate everyone for listening. Dial a Dork was brought to you by VisionNet. Call 1-800-645-9351. VisionNet, they're an ISP, VoIP, they do all that stuff. Give them a call. And this is also brought to you by the Comm Group, K-O-M-M Group. And you can visit us at our website, commgroup.com. And next week, we're going to be talking a little bit about spyware, 10th anniversary of some internet bellwethers, maybe the new open source voting bill that's coming out, and other things. So we are out of here. We'll be right back.
most pimps together. It was live.